What's up, everybody? We are here with a special 4th of July weekend edition of the Big One Podcast. We are going rogue and we are going solo recording tonight. Baby G only. July 7th, we just wrapped up with the NASCAR Cup Series at the Chicago Street Course, but we're going to break down a little bit of some of the other races before we get down with what happened at NASCAR today. So, overall, an absolutely wonderful 4th of July weekend. The weather was up and down here in the Midwest, but where we had racing across the country was very good. So Formula One, we finally had some action. Lewis Hamilton comes through with a win this weekend. Absolutely awesome. Formula One is getting very spicy these days because Max Verstappen is finally not winning every single race this season, so it's actually becoming a very interesting sport to watch. So there's been a lot of chatter within the racing family on our group chat about Formula One. You've got to watch this stuff. I have been doing a lot of Sunday morning rock climbing with some new friends, some old friends. We're hitting the outdoor walls here in Wisconsin while we've got the summer weather where it's good to climb. So I have personally not been tuning into the Formula One, but it sounds like it might be one of the things I need to be doing pretty soon. So from the text I was getting was Hamilton, good race, he wins. Next up on the racing schedule this Sunday was Mid-Ohio IndyCar Series. This was the first time IndyCar has debuted their new hybrid car. Extremely innovative system for IndyCar Series. This is probably something you're going to see translate through a lot of the other series. We'll get into some of NASCAR's IndyCar slash copying slash hybrid slash we don't know what we're doing yet a little bit later in the show. But overall, Mid-Ohio for IndyCar was an absolutely fantastic race. So Alex Palou won the pole, but it was only by 0.003 seconds, the absolute closest pole position finish in IndyCar Series. Second place was Paddle Ward. And this race was absolutely phenomenal. So the entire race, I want to say it was the first 30 laps or so, it was back and forth, good racing throughout the entire race. Final pit stop, I want to say it was around lap 50. Paddle Ward comes in early. He has a good stop, 6.2 seconds. Next lap, Alex Palou comes in. His team does an absolutely fantastic job. They take four tires, they gas it up. But then he cannot fire the engine, so he ends up taking 7.2 seconds to get out of the pit stall. So as he cycles back onto the track, Paddle Ward gets in front of him, and Paddle Ward just ran an absolutely fantastic race to the finish. Built a lead all the way up to about 1.5 seconds, and Palou ended up pushing his tires so hard that he got them a little bit overheated. And a couple times he got a little squirrely, so he'd pull it back into about 0.3. He'd get squirrely, and then he drops back to 0.6, 0.7, reels it back to 0.5, 0.4, overheats those tires again, and then Paddle Ward just runs an absolutely fantastic last five laps of the race and gets his first win in quite some time. So Paddle Ward did have a win earlier in the season, but it was after the race was over. There was a disqualification ahead of him. So Paddle Ward was credited with a win earlier this season. Wasn't really a checkered flag, though. So Paddle Ward, after losing that heartbreaking finish at the Indy 500 this year, he breaks through, he gets that win, and takes it home at Mid-Ohio. So overall, an absolutely awesome first two races of the day with IndyCar, Formula One. And then we can start breaking down a little bit of the NASCAR weekend. Getting into the NASCAR weekend at Chicago, we started off with Xfinity on Saturday, an absolutely banger day of racing. The weather was fantastic in Chicago, so we started the day off with Xfinity qualifying. SVG, to no surprise. I mean, this guy came onto the scene last year as an absolute unknown. Nobody knew who this guy was, but in the Xfinity series this year, he's been holding court a little bit on the road courses. He's been learning a lot on the ovals, qualifying. So we got SVG on the pole, Larson P2, Connor Mosack in third, Big G's big dog, Ty Gibbs in fifth, and Sam Meyer qualified fifth. So overall, qualifying like you would expect, SVG 1, Larson an absolute beast in 2, and then some other guys you would expect in the top 5. So let's talk about SVG for a little bit here. So this guy has been on an absolute tear on the road courses. Starting out with last year, he won the Chicago Street Course Cup Series race, a shortened race because of the weather. You can't do anything about that. But he did come in and he took the NASCAR scene by storm, won the Chicago Street Race last year. And then now SVG, this guy is doing full-time Xfinity Series. He's given up his supercar series overseas and he's all in on Xfinity. My personal opinion is I think this guy's going to be up in the Cup Series next year on a third ride for Justin Marks' team Trackhouse next year, but he's on an absolute tear in Xfinity, so he's got a win at Portland. Saw that one in person with B-Boy. He's also got a race in Sonoma that he won, so I was 10 minutes away from that one for the Sonoma race. Ended up going to the Cup race where Kyle Larson won. And SVG, he wins the Chicago Xfinity Street Race this year. So SVG is showing the entire series that this guy is an absolute monster on the street courses, road courses. Anything that's not an oval, you better look out because SVG is going to be a player in Xfinity. And I also think in the Cup Series next year. Moving right along into the NASCAR Cup Series at Chicago. So we had some amazing concerts from what I've heard. We had the Chainsmokers. We had Keith Urban. Absolutely amazing. I'm so glad that we got these concerts in over the racing that ended up being a little bit of a wet weather disaster. But hey, we're in Chicago. We're focusing on the music and we're not focusing on the fan experience for your hardcore NASCAR fans. It is what it is. And we're going to talk about a little bit of the racing action that we saw in the streets of downtown Chicago. Starting out, qualifying action. So the qualifying for this race was absolutely amazing. So Kyle Larson ended up on the pole for this thing. And then Ty Gibbs had an absolutely awesome run for qualifying as well. He was only 0.01 seconds behind Larson for the qualifying lead. Your next high qualifiers were Michael McDowell in third, Tyler Reddick in fourth, and then to absolutely nobody's surprise, Shane Van Gisbergen in fifth. So overall, weather was beautiful for qualifying. The fans that showed up for early for qualifying practice, they got an absolutely amazing show. And then unfortunately, when this race went green, it was about 4 o'clock Central Time in Chicago. Ended up having to delay it about 15 minutes because of weather, because as we said, they had these concerts they were doing throughout the day. And they could not move up the race to start early because of all these extracurriculars surrounding the race. So once we went green here, it was a bit of a mixed bag. We had a lot of cars that were on the wet weather or the dry, the slicks. And NASCAR decided that, hey, we're going to do a non-competitive caution. We're going to leave it up to the teams. You can decide if you want to go on the wets or if you want to go on the slicks. And we're going to really leave it up to you. So I think it was about 7 cars came in and they decided to change up tires. And then from there on, we had a little bit of rain. Some of the areas of the course were wet. Some of the areas were dry. And the first 20 laps or so of this race were absolutely fantastic. And then unfortunately, as happens in the Midwest in the summer, Mother Nature, she just rained down on us, and it was like Africa, baby. We were raining, and we were raining hard. So this thing ended up going green. It was going yellow. It was a bit of a hot mess. Big shout-out for Chase Briscoe and Josh Berry. I mean, I think these guys combined for 4 or 5 yellow cautions alone. It was a little bit embarrassing for these guys at a certain point. Like, when you can't keep your car straight through the turns, you're overdriving, you're hitting the tires, you would think you would learn something from this on the first or second time, but I honestly think it was 2 or 3 times for each of these guys. And at a certain point, I think NASCAR needs to black flag these guys and be like, look, you guys are not learning from your mistakes. You're making our window to race here very small. And we need to either send you guys to the back and slow you down, or we need to just take you out of the race altogether and put you in the garage. Absolutely insane. I mean, same thing with Denny Hamlin. Like, Hamlin, bro, what were you doing in this race? This guy caused 3 different cautions by himself, and a lot of them were just because he was in the back and he was trying to be way more aggressive than he needed to be. And he overdrove corners. He tried to send a guy up the wall. He ended up sending himself up the wall. At one point, he undercut someone and spun them both out. It was just an absolute mess from Denny Hamlin in this race. A little bit of race recap other than that. I mean, at a certain point, it was a good horse race for the top 3. And Kyle Larson was really, really, really trying to send it in at one point in the race, and he went extremely hard into one of the corners and ended up just blasting the tire barriers. This was one of the scariest crashes I've ever seen at the Chicago Street Course. He was coming in hot on the straightaway, and he ended up slipping up a little bit, so he turned his car into the wall and ended up hitting the tire barrier pretty hard. And his crew chief was saying, hey, just back it out. Let's see what the damage is. What are we looking like here? And he backed the car out of the wall, and his entire front end was just blasted up into his windshield. So there was no chance that Larson was going to get back out on the raceway there. Continuing the race recap here. So SVG ended up getting sent out of this race at a certain point. He had an unfortunate incident. I don't remember who got loose or what happened, but he slammed the wall going around the one corner pretty hard, and his day ended early in the first stage. But after that, it was kind of a lot of just wet weather, people just kind of feeling it out. Do we want to go on the slicks, wet weather tires? And ultimately, the rain really moved into Chicago, so we ended up having to go to a red flag. They put the drivers on pit lane. Thought it was just going to be a quick, you know, 5-minute pause, we'll get the track dried, send them back out there, you know, you get the hot cars drying up the track, let's go. It ended up being an almost 2-hour red flag. So again, for those fans in Chicago that were there live, I was going to be one of those people until I saw that it cost $170 for general admission, because they keep trying to sell this thing as a concert slash festival with racing on the side, and I'm absolutely not here for that. They red flagged this bitch for about 2 hours, and then we finally went green. God, it had to be about an hour and 20 minutes to go before their, quote, 8 o'clock, 20 p.m. cutoff time that NASCAR has agreed to with the city of Chicago. So Big G was texting me throughout this rain delay that, what are we doing? The course looks dry. I'm out here tie-dyeing shirts, and I'm having more fun than I am watching these drivers sit there looking extremely pissed off within their cars. Like, the drivers are just sitting there in the cars, like, staring at nothing. Why are we not driving? Why is NASCAR putting me through this? I think some of them were probably thinking, like, we signed this contract with Lori Lightfoot, the former mayor of the city of Chicago. The new mayor of Chicago, Brandon something, I think it's Brandon Johnson, he's a total pushover. If I was Bill France running NASCAR, I would run this motherfucker until midnight and make the city of Chicago sue me, because we'll talk about this in a minute, but running this race and then ending it at a, quote, race clock at 8:20 p.m. and then you run one more lap was an absolute joke. So let's jump right into the end of this race. Alex Bowman ends up getting the lead on the last lap. Joey Hand in the number 60 Ford. This guy started 38th in this race, and he took a gamble and stayed on those wet weather tires, and he was leading at the last restart. And he was leading all about until 5 minutes in this stupid race clock thing. And then Alex Bowman ended up passing him. He ended up getting passed by Bowman, Reddick, Gibbs as well. But Joey Hand was running the absolute race of his life in the NASCAR Cup Series. ended up just losing a little bit of speed. Bowman passes him. Bowman gets this absolutely monster lead with, I want to say it was 2 to 3 minutes left in this new race clock that NASCAR just decides to implement for this race because they have this 8:20 p.m. cutoff time with the city of Chicago. So Bowman's, he's out by a huge margin. And then I got to say it was about 2 minutes left in this clock that Tyler Reddick is absolutely closing, and he's right there. He was with about a second of the lead and makes a big, big, big mistake, hits the wall, drops back to about 2 seconds, and that was all she wrote. So your final running order for this one in the top 10, Alex Bowman number one, Tyler Reddick number two, Baby Gibson third, Joey Hand, as we talked about earlier, in fourth. Fifth place, Michael McDowell. And then we've got Stenhouse, Gilliland, Byron, Bush, and Blaney in 10th place. So this thing absolutely flipped upside down because of the strategy. I mean, I'm just scrolling through the standings here, and some of the cars that were strong all day, they did not finish all that well. We've got Martin Truex Jr. finished 33rd. Christopher Bell had an awesome run. He finished 37th. Larson 39th because of that accident. And SVG all the way in 40th because of his accident. So, I mean, this thing could have some pretty big playoff implications. I'm just taking a peek outside of the top 10 here. We got Bubba Wallace in 13th. Keselowski in 18th. Chase Elliott in 21. I mean, this thing was an absolute just complete disaster from a standings perspective because we had this 8:20 p.m. cutoff time, which is absolutely unacceptable from NASCAR as a whole. So all in all, I mean, another interesting slash weird race at the Chicago Street Course, and I think it's still up in the air if we're even going to lock in and do a third year here. My personal opinion is if we do a third here at the Chicago Street Course, we got to start this thing at like noon or 1 p.m. Central Time to make sure that there's enough racing window in the instance of inclement weather like we've had the past 2 years to actually run the full 75 laps of this race. Closing out the 4th of July weekend breakdown, we're going to do a little true big one podcast tradition here. We're going to do a little Sipski. New guy, man, we miss you out here in the States, but I know you're living the dream out there where you're living now, so we're going to do a little Sipski. And we're going to get into a little bit of the racing action that we've been seeing so far this year. So it's been a bit of a whirlwind for the Big One podcast members. We've been all over the country. We've been all over the world. And we've been just seeing a shitload of racing all over the world. So a quick little breakdown of what we've seen. So B-Boy and Baby G, we saw some ARCA out in Portland. William Sawalich took the checkered flag on that one. The next day, we saw the Xfinity Series out at Portland International Raceway as well. We got our requisite fried chicken. We had some sushi. We were sipping on a little Mike's Hard Lemonade at the sample station. And SVG, the Kiwi man himself, he dominated Xfinity at Portland International Raceway and did one absolutely hell of a burnout right in front of us at that one. So overall, an absolutely amazing weekend in the Pacific Northwest. We did a lot of hiking, a lot of drinking, a lot of race watching, and a lot of Taylor Swifting out in the Pac Northwest. Baby G then moved on down into wine country in Sonoma. I was only able to go to the cup race on Sunday because my family was hosting me down there in the NorCal region. Little bit of a side story there. So got some family out there. Their teenagers had to volunteer on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Sonoma Raceway. And my one second cousin said volunteering at a NASCAR race is literally hell on earth. So take that what you will, but if you're a teenager and you're volunteering for your cheerleading squad at a NASCAR event in Northern California, you may not be having the best of times. But word on the street is they raised about $16,000 for the weekend. So all in all, I think when this is explained to those teenagers in a couple of years that your $15,000 cheerleading trip was paid for by Sonoma Raceway, I think they'll be okay with it. So getting back to the racing here, I ended up going to the cup race with a couple of relatives. We had an amazing flyover by the Patriots Air League. So this is non-affiliated with the U.S. government. It's a fully funded sport air flying team. They did about 30 minutes of flyover before the race. And one of my cousins said, holy cow, I would absolutely just come to this area to see this racing flying flyover thing itself. So even before we go into the track, we're eating fried chicken. Picked up some fried chicken from Hop Monk Tavern in Novato the night before. Bagged that shit up and brought it into the tailgate scene at Sonoma Raceway the next day. So we're drinking a couple of craft beers. We're eating chicken. We're eating some popcorn in the parking lot. We had a great time and ended up walking into the track. I was very concerned about getting my race day pin. So I was standing in line. I got out of line because the line was taking forever. So we're in the seats. They're getting the cars out on track, national anthem, all that stuff. And I said, look, guys, I'm sorry, but I got to go back down and get in line for souvenirs because I need my race day pin for my shadow box. Ended up getting right in front of line of a supercar driver from Europe. His name was Carter Williams. It's at Carter Williams Official on Instagram if you want to check him out. We did a quick little, 1 minute conversation about, hey, I'm going to show you some pictures on my phone. If you know who this is, tell me who it is. And if you don't, just say no. So it ended up being about 11 NASCAR drivers from past and present. I think I got 9 out of 11 right. And then the last picture was a picture of this guy, Carter Williams himself. I didn't get that one right because I had no idea who this guy was. So ended up being a really fun conversation. We got through that quick little social media hit, and then we were in line for about another 10 minutes. And once we got up there, his social media manager goes, hey, why don't you buy this guy that pin that he wants so bad? And I'm like, cool, that's amazing. Like, I can buy myself an $8 pin. And then she also goes, hey, is there anything else you want? And I go, well, my cousin really wants that Sonoma Raceway flag. Ended up getting that Raceway flag for free as well. This is hilarious. Ended up didn't give it to my cousin. I ended up bringing it back to my apartment, and I got it hanging up here right behind my bedroom door. But that's besides the point. So overall, amazing experience there in line. Then we got to see the actual race at Sonoma Raceway, the Cup Series, on Sunday. So this was an absolute banger of a race. Not a whole lot of cautions to start, but then it did get a little bit muddy down in cautions during the end of stage one, early stage two. So we ended up doing a little perusing of Sonoma Raceway. We ended up at North Point Grill, also formerly known as Sears Point Grill, which I like a lot better. And we tried to order what's called the race day cocktail, or the race day fuel, I believe it was called. And the bartender did not know what this cocktail was called. So she goes, hang on, guys, let me just pull you off to the side over here and we'll set you up. So to set the stage here, we've had about 4 to 5 beers in the parking lot. We drank a couple in the stands while we were watching the race. Then we hike up about a mile to the Sears Point Grill. And my cousin goes, all right, well, if you don't know what's in this cocktail, I'm going to tell you what's in it. So he goes, give me 2 shots of gin. Give me 2 shots of vodka. Give me a shot of Campari, and then let's put a little club soda on top of that, and then give me a splash of lime. So, I mean, right there, we're talking about a 5-drink cocktail, and this comes in a 22-ounce souvenir cup. We're set up. We're good to go for the rest of this race. So what we do is we head up above the S's at Earnhardt Plaza at Sonoma Raceway, and we watch 40 to 45 minutes of racing up here, and this part of the race was absolutely incredible. I mean, the guys at the front of the race were just battling hard. I can't remember who was in the front, but we ended up going back to where we dropped our bags up at the top of the grandstands where my relatives were volunteering, and all of our bags were gone. So, you know, as the smart, intelligent people we are, after 10 drinks, we think they got to be just down in our seats where we told them to be. So we head down in the seats, and my cousin is absolutely exhausted. She is sleeping with her head on my cooler full of beer, and there's cars driving 150 miles an hour. We're in row 17, so we're right on top of William Byron's pit box, and she is just out like a light bulb sleeping because just so exhausted from volunteering for 3 straight days. So we end up letting her rest there for a couple of laps, and then I think it was about 10 laps to go. Larson's really closing the gap on first place, and she comes to her senses. We wake up. She grabs a quick Coors Light or a Miller Lite, I don't know, some light beer from the car, and Larson ends up taking the lead with about 6 laps to go. And I know from Sonoma Raceway how absolutely insane the traffic can be trying to leave this track. I give the helicopter signal that, like, let's go. We don't have to stay here and watch Kyle Larson dominate these last 6 laps. We can get out of here, and we can be back to the house in, like, an hour instead of 4 hours. So we ended up hitting the shuttle back to where we were parked. My cousin absolutely goes, like, fucking NASCAR on this parking lot situation. We're swerving through traffic. We're bump drafting people. We're pushing people out of the way. And we hit that one-way highway out of Sonoma Raceway in about 15 minutes. And by the time we're there, we're home in 10. We're back at the home front, and we are, wow, we're just reliving an absolutely amazing day at Sonoma Raceway. Everyone's hot. We take some quick showers. We regroup. We hit some gin and tonics, and we just reflect on an amazing day at the racetrack. I mean, when you go to a racetrack with people who have never been to a racetrack before, and you get as good of a race that we had this year at Sonoma Raceway, you've got people that are locked in, and they are going to really be fans. I don't know about my family, but a lot of the other people at this race that were there for the first time, they're going to be fans for a really long time. That's about all I got for Baby G's West Coast Swing 2024. We saw some absolutely amazing racing. Portland, Sonoma. These are two tracks I've definitely got to get back to. But speaking of tracks, we're going to be doing a lot of racing here in the Midwest. I mean, me and my dad, Papa G, we're trying to go to Slinger Speedway tonight for the Midwest Truck Series. Unfortunately, there was some weather moving in. We've drived out there before. It's about a 45-minute drive to Slinger Speedway from my home base, and when there's any risk of weather, it's just a no-go. So we called it off, ended up watching that absolute disaster of Chicago Streetways. We struck a movie in there in between, but now we're on to the next weekend. So I'm hoping next weekend, after Slinger Nationals, here on July 9th, I may also sneak out to that after work on Tuesday if I can, but we'll see. We might do a little quick update on that one if we can. But the big racing weekend coming up here in Wisconsin is we've got an IndyCar doubleheader on Labor Day weekend. So we've got a bunch of people coming into town for this one. We've got some people coming from Charlotte, North Carolina. We've got some people coming from North St. Paul, Minnesota, and we are going to do the full racing weekend at IndyCar. So we've got Friday practice. We're looking to do some pit passes that day. Saturday, we've got Indy NXT, and we've got the IndyCar number one race. And then on Sunday, we've also got the IndyCar number two race. So I think we're probably going to try to get a little bit of hot mic action at the IndyCar practice and the races. And then we're also going to do a nice download podcast on Sunday after the whole racing weekend is over. So with that, this has been the Baby G solo breakdown of your 4th of July racing weekend. We're going to try to reboot this thing soon, and we will catch you all next time on the Big One Podcast. That's BigOnePodcast@gmail.com and on X/Twitter @PodcastBigOne. Bye, little Sipski.